Welcome back. You're listening to Business in Vancouver on Roundhouse Radio 98.3. We are the daily business news program from Business in Vancouver newspaper and BIV.com. I'm Tyler Orton. Well, we all know the BC government has just unveiled its cannabis framework, and well, it's really just part of the cannabis framework. There's still some consultations that need to be met, so there are some lingering questions. And with us to provide a bit of a consumer perspective on things is David Clement. He is the North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center. David, thanks for joining us on the show once again.
Thank you very much for having me.
So BC has come out and they said that they want this hybrid model for retail sales. We'll have both public as well as private sales going on with regards to, say, the similar model that we have for liquor. What do you make of BC's model here versus what we're seeing in other provinces? I think Alberta stands out because they don't have any sort of public liquor stores. And we also know that, say, Ontario wants to go forward with only private or only public distribution.
Yeah, I think the public-private model is decent. I would give it a satisfactory rating in terms of consumer access.
Mm-hmm.
It's significantly better than what's being suggested in Ontario, which is entirely through the LCBO. They're only going to have 40 stores for the entire province. So that's most likely not going to be efficient or consumer-friendly enough to have the desired results. I will say that the one big issue in terms of the public-private model, not necessarily on the retail side, but on the wholesale side, is that the BC government has announced that they plan on having a single government-run wholesale distribution system. So all legal cannabis would be purchased through or would be available through this wholesale distribution outlet, which is what would feed public and private cannabis retailers.
What do you make of that versus, and I think we can keep going back to the Ontario example because it's come under a lot of criticism, but I think Ontario wants to do something similar with their distribution as well. But what do you make of British Columbia's decision here?
So I think that having government-run wholesale for distribution is a mistake, specifically for British Columbia, because there is a fairly vibrant cannabis community. If you look at somewhere like Vancouver, obviously there's dispensaries that exist. The city has realized that fighting that is not necessarily the way to go. The reason why I say the wholesale distribution side of it is flawed is that most of these private businesses operate now if they purchase cannabis from licensed medical growers. And so that entire supply chain will be disrupted, most likely, by the government-run wholesale distribution setup, unless they allow for these medical growers to sell into it, which is still unclear. And that matters in terms of access, because if the market is going to entirely rely on licensed producers, these are the companies that have the license to produce cannabis commercially, there's going to be some significant issues in terms of keeping up with consumer demand. Only because the process of becoming a licensed producer is quite strenuous. It's way more strenuous than, let's say, opening up a brewery. If I were to put an estimate on it, I'd say it's probably about 100 times more difficult to become a licensed producer than it is to open up a brewery. So the government having the monopoly on wholesale could cause some significant issues in terms of access, in terms of meeting demand. And I'd like to see provincial legislators do a little more to ease those concerns.
Yeah, I just wonder about the whole supply issue. I think that's going to be a big thing going forward, just because I know Health Canada, as you said, they've made it very tough for a lot of producers to even get licenses at this point. And so I don't know how all provinces, no matter just say British Columbia, is going to be able to have it supplied through this government system that they want to introduce. But David, at this point, what do you think would be the ideal system to look at? Do you think maybe Alberta is going in the right direction, New Brunswick, or do you think that nobody's quite cracked the code here across Canada?
I think nobody's quite cracked the code. I think Manitoba embracing private retail is great. I think that what Ontario has done is very flawed. And the problem with that flawed approach is that it will give the prohibitionists ammunition in terms of if it's not successful. If it's not successful, it's not going to be not successful because legalizing cannabis isn't the right thing to do. It's going to be because of bad government policy. What I would like to see, I would love to see BC be a champion for taking the cannabis market that currently exists and just transferring it to the legal market, saying, you guys are no longer operating on the fringes. You are now licensed businesses, basically taking the approach of the city government to some extent in Vancouver and applying that province-wide and just transferring what's in that gray market right now into the legal market and saying, okay, you guys are the professionals. Let's continue down this road. Let's have a free, open, and fair market for consumers. I think that would be the way to go. Unfortunately, nobody has quite cracked that code yet.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to be a difficult conversation here in Metro Vancouver. We have at least one municipality, Richmond. They said that they will not allow any retail sales. They obviously have maybe some bylaws that they can implement to ensure that does not happen. Within the city of Vancouver, you brought up the fact that, look, we have all these dispensaries operating. A lot of them are actually not operating with business licenses as they were told to do and to fall under city bylaws. But whereas we could have the province maybe grandfather in a lot of these guys, do you think that there could be more clashes ahead when this begins to roll out further down the road?
I certainly think there are going to be more clashes. I mean, we have a vibrant cannabis industry in Vancouver. Some people really like it, some people really hate it, but cannabis is going to be a legal product. Why not just transfer or grandfather, as you said? I think that's probably the most appropriate term. All of these folks who are meeting demand right now into the legal market, take them away from that gray or black market, have them have the business license that they need, obviously, treat them as any other legal business, and have that transition so that we can meet demand. I think if we rely too heavily on the licensed producer model and more specifically on government over-regulation to somehow magically fix this, we're going to be circling back to this 6 months or a year after legalization and be scratching our heads as to why it's not working the way that we wanted it to.
David, I anticipate a lot of head scratching further down the road, especially when 2018 draws closer in and we get to that July deadline. Mm-hmm. Although there are a lot of provinces right now calling for more time from the federal governments. Our guest today is David Clement. He's the North American Affairs Manager of the Consumer Choice Center. We're talking about the framework that the BC has just unveiled with regards to legalized recreational cannabis. One of the other questions that were answered here, and there weren't so many answers given that maybe people were hoping for, but the minimum age is going to be set at 19. Mm-hmm. That's the same age for legal drinking here in British Columbia. What do you make of the decision for minimum age here in BC?
In terms of ease of access, I think treating it the same as alcohol is appropriate. Other jurisdictions will have a gap between when you can buy alcohol and when you can buy cannabis. I don't particularly think that that's appropriate or effective. In my eyes, if you're an adult, in the eyes of the government, you're an adult and you should be treated as so. And cannabis is going to be a legal product. So if the age to be an adult to consume alcohol in the province is 19, I think it's appropriate for them to apply that for legal cannabis as well.
Okay. The other thing that I want to get into this with regards to you from a consumer perspective is just who is able to sell certain items, because I it's in the news just recently that Shoppers Drug Mart has reached a 5-year deal with Aphria Incorporated to supply it for medical marijuana. Shoppers, they've been a little bit on the fence about whether they want to pursue recreational cannabis at this point, but at this point, if they go with this, if Health Canada approves this deal between Shoppers and Aphria, Shoppers would only be able to sell it online. This would have to be kind of that mail-in model that we have right now. Mm-hmm. What do you think would be the future of, say, in-store purchases for people, not necessarily the medical side of things, but also the recreational side of things? Do you anticipate that it could be a drugstore that's selling it, or are we just going to be counting on, say, these liquor stores, for example, or other private dispensaries?
I would much prefer private dispensaries. Those are the folks who obviously have the expertise in the product that they're selling. That's important for informed consumers. You want the people behind the counter to know what they're talking about. What I don't want to see is this large-scale online model where people have to purchase online. The reason why that's an issue is if you followed any of the medical cannabis trials that have gone to the Supreme Court, we've learned the hard way that particular model is not effective in meeting the demand of medical consumers, of medical cannabis users. So I doubt that it would be efficient for meeting the demand of recreational users if they were to try to swing the recreational market into this online realm as well. Private dispensaries is certainly a superior option from the eyes of consumers because it's more efficient. You have a better, more informed consumer. You have people with expertise selling the product, and it's efficient in the way in which you might have more competition, which allows for prices to be more appropriate, which obviously will have people shifting away from the black market to the legal market. The more difficult we make it for people to obtain legal cannabis, the more likely they are to just phone, let's say, I'm going to stereotype here for a second, but phone the drug dealer down the street as opposed to engaging in the legal market. And part of the point of this is to engage in the legal market. So let's transition these businesses into the legal market, allow for consumers to make that transition as well, and create a free and fair market where it makes sense for consumers to do so. Because, like I said, if we have this heavy-handed approach, what we're going to do is we're going to see consumers stay in that black market, which is not obviously preferred.
Well, David, I want to leave you on this last thing here before we go here, but do you think that it was maybe a mistake for Ottawa to leave it to each individual province to figure out their own model? Do you think there should have been some sort of harmonized approach across Canada when it comes to the sale of recreational cannabis?
So generally speaking, I actually do like the federal government leaving this to provinces. I would have preferred if they had left or deregulated the licensed producer model to the provinces as well, so provinces can decide for themselves, like they do with alcohol and things like that, who the producers are going to be. The reason why I like that is it creates what I like to call jurisdictional competition. So if when we have jurisdictions having competing against each other, let's say for the most consumer-friendly market, that's a win for consumers because there's going to be some downward pressure or upward pressure in terms of access, downward pressure in terms of price. And there's actually a case in front of the Supreme Court today, which is the Como case, which is about alcohol regulation and alcohol crossing provincial boundaries. And if the Crown or if Supreme Court rules in favor of Como and not the Crown, you'll actually be able to purchase legal goods uninhibited from other provinces, and they'll be able to cross provincial boundaries. So if we apply that to cannabis, if other jurisdictions have better access and are more consumer friendly, you'll actually start to see consumers shift their behavior by purchasing from distributors from other provinces that have better access, better product, they're more efficient, or they have better prices.
I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains going forward with this, David, but we'd love you to come back and kind of spell out where consumers stand with regards to the sale of recreational cannabis as we draw closer to the start date.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely something that's going to pique a lot of people's interest, and it's something we're going to keep a very close eye on at the Consumer Choice Center.
Well, excellent. That's David Clement. He's the North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center. And you're listening to Business in Vancouver on Roundhouse Radio 98.3. I'm Tyler Orton. Stay with us. We'll be back after this.